Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 15th of April, and I'm recording at 9:55 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, it's quite clear that we have a Wall Street-led, this time, corrective phase going on in stock markets. I say this time because we haven't really had a Wall Street-led correction for really quite some time, and it's probably quite important in the scheme of things as far as corrections go, given Wall Street's overwhelming size and influence on the rest of the global economies. But let's have a quick whip around the world stock markets first and see what's going on here. Japan was a little steadier, although the Nikkei is still below that important 14,000 level. Not by much. It's only 3 points and a bit here right now. After gaining 86 points on the day, that was 0.62%. But it needs upward dynamics, which it has had previously from these levels. And it may be running out of time to do that if it doesn't do that pretty quickly. Now, I think you know the story on Japan, that investors are apprehensive about the sales tax increase that occurred this month and how that will affect the economy, which is already quite soft. Japan also has expensive energy costs. And the government has lost some popularity because Shinzo Abe would like to restart some of the nuclear power plants, which can be modernized and refortified. But well over 60% of the population is actually opposed to that, although Abe may have received a little bit of help here today. I'm sure he has. From something called the International Panel on Climate Change, and they're saying go nuclear. We need to see nuclear power to cut the carbon emissions. And well, fair point. And Fuller Money's been saying that. Fuller Money, did I call it? Fuller Tracy Money, the audio commentary, has been calling for that for really quite a long time. So it goes back to the Fuller Money name days, as well. So that's Japan. China, which had done quite well over the last 3 weeks or so, albeit rallying from very low levels, but had a little bit of a bigger move to the downside here today. Not huge, but that rally looks to have stalled, and it still hasn't broken the progression of lower rally highs. The Indian market also, which had been rock steady and mostly hitting new highs last week when so much selling pressure was going on, but that slipped again, not a whole lot, but backing off those highs. And most of the Asian markets are somewhat lower. But India and Vietnam had been the standouts, and as I say, they've backed off their highs for the moment. Now, Europe was soft in here today. FTSE MIB down 2.33%. That's the Italian stock market. And the Euro Stoxx 50 down 1.28%. So there were some hits in here. Excuse me. Germany down 1.77% here overall. Now, Europe had been pretty much a relative strength standout. There is a bit of concern, certainly from the ECB, Mario Draghi, over the strength of the euro, which he certainly feels is a headwind. But getting to the bigger story in here, what's happening on Wall Street? And this was an interesting day because we had some real seesaw activity. It started up and then fell very sharply. And then it rallied back up. It gave up a lot of the gains then, and then rallied towards the close near the highs of the day. Now, that's against, say, a background of this short-term oversold condition. And in terms of which index you look at, well, the Dow hasn't really lost consistency, although to too great an extent, although it certainly has lost momentum. So if it sounds like I'm contradicting myself there a little bit, yes, I am, because it's getting plenty of sideways ranging, but it's still above its 200-day moving average, and it is hasn't had a significant break of previous lows. The S&P 500 index, that clearly has some of the best value companies here overall, and it's the steadiest of the indices overall, and has not shown any clear inconsistencies, although you remember Friday a week ago it had that big downside key day reversal right at the high. And it had a couple of follow-through dynamics, downward dynamics last week. So those are certainly asking questions. Now, but moving on among these U.S. indices, then the Russell 2000 most closely resembles the NASDAQ index. And so it's had a bigger pullback overall and has clearly lost some overall uptrend consistency. And the NASDAQ composite, that for the third day in a row, that's moved a bit below the 4,000 lateral trading level, if you look at that chart. And it closed, saw a deeper pullback today, but it closed back above it. Closed at 4,034. It was only up 11 points though, so that's barely steadied at the lower side of the range. Whereas in contrast, the S&P 500 index tested its recent lows, but then closed well above them at 1,843. So what's that telling us? Well, the obvious point, I feel, is that the big selling has been in the high valuation and low yielding stocks overall. So those are new tech and biotech. Biotech has come back even more sharply than new tech. And I don't think those moves downwards are over, although some short covering rallies and a bit of a bit of a bounce would hardly be surprising, but I don't think those moves are over. And also, biotechnology, absolutely fantastic field here for the long term. So I'm talking about the short to medium term, but it became so overextended on the upside. You can look at that index, of course. It came crashing back down to way overextended relative to its 200-day moving average. When we've seen that, I mean, veteran subscribers will know that you've seen these things over the years. They become wonderfully fashionable, and everybody piles in. They become way overextended. Then they come blasting back and go straight down through their 200-day moving average. And the move is over for a good many months. Think Apple Computer. It's just Apple, isn't it? Think Apple. And that's a good example. Apple telegraphed and is really the template for what some of these other outperforming shares and sectors are actually going to do. And what it means is that a medium-term overall corrective phase is actually underway. Now, let's just take another wonderful company, although I don't like the business model, and that's Amazon. Why don't I like the Amazon? Why don't I like the business model? And that's because Amazon doesn't pay any dividend, and it doesn't really earn any profits. It earns loads of money, but not profits, because it keeps plowing it back into the business. It's also a bit of a scary company because it's capable of wiping out companies and even industries to a certain extent. A classic example being bookstores, which have been absolutely hammered by Amazon. Again, a wonder company here for the very long term, but that has fallen, must have fallen at least 25% here, and being big over extension and coming straight back down to its MA, and I think it'll go further. I think it already has gone further. I'm looking at so many charts, I can't always remember them precisely. But so where are we in this? We're oversold in the short term. You can see those if you look at the stochastics indicators in the chart library. You can see that short term oversold condition. But in a corrective phase, you'd expect to get lots of oversold conditions. Then you get some short covering and you get a little bit of bargain hunting. But it's almost certainly not over. So again, I would say be cautious. The shares that were on the very high valuations will all get that definition of a bear market, which I do not accept, or it is not important to me. Is, you know, you get an index or a share comes down over 20%, and they say, well, that's a statistical bear market. Well, that's a good correction in my opinion. I think we'll see lots of good corrections. I do not think that we will see a bear market for the S&P 500 index, but I do expect the S&P to see at least a 10% correction. And probably before the end of the third quarter of this year. In other words, that process is probably already underway of correcting. And it's got an outside chance of a 20% setback. These are guesses. Targets like that are guesses. But it's hardly surprising when you think of the valuations on the indices and relative to the rest of the world, and when you think of the terrific gains that we had last year, and the way you had some warnings, the January down month, first time in 5 years, it's getting a down January. So there are all sorts of factors here that mean that, as we've been saying, that this is going to be a very choppy year overall. I think it's living up to that. And we can expect more of that, but I don't think it's a massive collapse that some people, a few people have been talking about. Okay, moving on quickly because I'm holding you up too long. Let's take U.S. 10-year bond yields. Now they've been stuck for 2.5 months in this narrow trading range between 2.6% and 2.8%. Well worth watching this. The Fed will not be worried about overheating when it sees the index. It's been hovering for longer this time, I think at least 4 days, down near that 2.6 side, which is the lower side of the range. And certainly if we get the additional correction that I think is quite likely on Wall Street. Does it range for a few weeks before it happens, or do we go down sooner? Probably we go down a bit sooner. But in that case, then I would think that bond yield will come somewhat lower, and everybody will be talking about deflation again, and whether or not the Fed will be halting its tapering of QE. I hope they don't. I think they do need to finish that tapering process. Otherwise, you know, when do we ever get back to normal monetary policies? That's my outlook. Now let's move on from here. We saw a bear raid in the precious metals here today. Now, you can see that particularly on, well, in some of the extreme moves that we saw. And there seemed to be some coordinated bearish reports. There was an analyst, I think, in Asia, speaking at a conference, making a quite aggressively bearish comment for this quarter and the third quarter of the year on precious metals. Goldman Sachs has been bearish on precious metals for quite a number of months in here, as you're probably aware. So, as I say, a bit of an aggressive bear raid, and it caused some very sharp reactions which have not been maintained, although they're well off the highs here. Palladium is currently down nearly $17. That's at seven, nearly nine, nearly 7.95, just below 7.95. It was $9 lower, and the others are more volatile than that. Silver, for instance, currently at 19.585. That's down 42.5 cents. It was down at 19.22, so it broke beneath this very narrow range that has been containing it for a while to test those lows in the $1,900 region, and then bounced up sharply, but is still well down on the day. But it regained at least 45% of the decline overall, and is just marginally back in that narrow trading range. And gold, similarly, it's currently trading at just below 1303, and that's down $25.5. Let's see, I can't s it got down to about I think 1290. The screen's not showing that to me right now. So big selling, and I forgot to cover platinum here. Similar thing, is platinum's down about $26 right now, 1441.60. But it has been $11 lower in here today. So nervous markets, certainly some gunslinging, plenty of evidence of the high frequency trading activity in terms of some of the moves that occur within a matter of seconds that are quite sharp. And that preys on investor sentiment here a little bit overall. So some damage to those technical patterns in the precious metals. Industrial metals were also a little bit lower. That dragged down Brazil today, which I forgot to mention. Brazil had a downward dynamic, down 2.21%, but it had had a terrific move upwards, sort of a type 2 surge higher, and now it's pulling back into the right-hand extension phase. And I think that's covered the major highlights here, except to mention that grains had gone from losses early in the day to modest profits here overall. Not much change in oil, a little weaker on the WTI. Lively action and nervy, as I said. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.